Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
Find in the entranceway, and Rob told me that so far no one has signed up, so I know that that means you've overlooked it. That's the only explanation I can think of. But anyway, if you would consider your role in that, what we're going to try to do is have like monthly responsibilities for each of those things. And I think the sign-up sheet will be...
Will there be lawn care equipment provided?
At this point, your own. Right. Some people with the equipment can supervise those who don't have it. Something along those lines. So. Okay. Today we're going to talk about friendship in the Bible. And I want to just start off. Let me just remind everybody what we've been doing. We've been studying through some major themes in the book of Proverbs. And so this week we're going to talk about friendships, and we're going to spend a few weeks on various relationships. And so let me just ask you if you can help me think of some great friendships that we read about in the Bible. See if we can just name a few of those friendships. Paul and Barnabas. Okay, good one. Okay, Jonathan and David. Any others? It starts to get a little less obvious once you got those couple of those like that.
Ruth and Naomi.
Ruth and Naomi, good. Okay. Jesus and Lazarus. And I'm going to just kind of throw in and the disciples, because he had lots of significant friendships that we could list a whole bunch of them in there, too. Others?
Elijah and Elisha.
Okay, good.
Jonah and the whale.
Okay, we're going to put that one.
Balaam and the dog.
Yeah, friendship that went wrong. Okay. Yeah, I should have a separate column for that. Any others? I thought of Luke and Theophilus. That's not laid out for us exactly, but anybody that would write two books for someone, another individual, must be a pretty good friend, right? Especially books to introduce him to Christ or to describe to him the ministry of Christ.
What about
Mary and Elizabeth? Okay, that's a good one. All right. Okay, Paul and Timothy. All right. So we're getting a lot of them here. I thought a couple of kind of strange examples. Well, I mean, we need to recognize that God called Moses his friend, so I thought we should say Moses and God. Okay, Moses and Aaron. Another friendship that's specifically mentioned in the Bible, I wouldn't call it a good friendship exactly, but it's mentioned specifically as a friendship, was Pilate and Herod. Remember that? They became friends because of the crucifixion of Christ. It is mentioned as a friendship. Also, Job and his friends. I'm not sure that was a great friendship either. But there are lots of friendships that are mentioned in the Bible. I think we all admire strong friendships. We long for friendships like that. We see, for example, Jonathan and David's friendship, and we say, wow, I'd like to have a friend like Jonathan. And I'd like to be a friend like that. How many of you have seen or read The Lord of the Rings. If you haven't, you probably know the story of Sam and Frodo taking this evil ring to Mount Doom to destroy it. There are lots of great battles and lots of other memorable scenes in those movies or those books if you read them. But probably one of the most powerful aspects of that story are the friendships in those books. And the key one there are several, like Gandalf and Bilbo and Legolas and Gimli develop a rather unusual friendship or improbable friendship. But Sam and Frodo are the two main characters, and they demonstrate a very strong friendship. Frodo's a central character. He's the one that has to bear the weight of carrying this evil ring to Mount Doom and go all the way through all these various trials in the process. But in a sense, Sam, who is his best friend, is the hero of the story, sticking with him and persevering with him in friendship through that whole time. And he says, there's a quote here from Sam. It says, "If you don't come back, sir, then I shan't. That's certain. Don't you leave him, they said to me. I never mean to. I'm going with him if he climbs to the moon. And if any of those black riders try to stop him, they'll have Sam Gamgee to reckon with," I said. So even when Frodo begins to suspect that Sam is trying to take the ring from him, even then he perseveres in his friendship and tries to protect Frodo and is still his friend. And we admire him for that. And it inspires us to be that kind of friend to others and to hope for friendship from others like that. Well, I want to just kind of briefly talk about the biblical basis for friendship. Friendship is, I believe, inherent to the Christian faith. And by the way, did some crayons get around to kids? Crayons? They did? Okay. I didn't hand out a picture this time because I couldn't find a picture of friends that wasn't really silly looking. So what I want to do is for you kids who want to draw, and you big people who want to draw too, I would like for you to think about something that friends can do together, friends do with each other, and you can draw that on the back of the little puzzle if you want to do that. You can probably come up with a lot better picture of friends than any of the cartoon things that I saw and considered. So I hope you'll do that and show that to your group when we break up into groups. Show us what you've drawn. Also, I want to apologize for the poor printing. My printer is needs some help. So before we get into that, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way your word teaches us about seemingly ordinary things like friendship and how we're to relate to one another. And yet this is so much at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. And we ask, Father, that you would remind us of these things and stir up our hearts to be the kinds of friends we ought to be and to receive the kinds of friendship that Scripture calls other friends to be to us. And we ask, Father, that we would do that in a way that makes us more like Christ and brings glory to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want to mention three things about friendship. First of all, God himself is relational. You ever thought about that? God is in relationship in himself. He is three in one. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And before there were ever any people, there was God enjoying a relationship in himself. And that's kind of weird for us to think about, but God is a lot bigger than we are, and so it's no surprise that he's mysterious to us in some ways. But remember what Genesis says. It says, then God said, "Let us make man in our image." See, even at the very beginning, God presents himself as not just one, but as three. And it was in God's counsel and his thinking and willing together and in his creating together that he chose to make man. And notice it says he chose to make man in our image, which means that man is relational too. We have relationships. We are to pursue and enjoy relationships together. And then it goes on to say in verse 27 of Genesis 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? So that sort of underscores the idea that we need each other. And of course, there's a specific aspect of male and female relationships, and we'll talk about that more another time, but in marriage and all that. But the point is that we cannot fully image who God is apart from relationships. We have to be in relationship in order to truly image who God is. Well, second of all, the Christian life is a corporate life. Corporate life means that it's a life of people together. When you get saved, you don't just get saved and run off as an individual. Being saved means becoming part of a body. Okay, hands don't live all by themselves very well, do they? They just don't really work. They don't get fed, they don't get taken care of, and they're not very useful to the rest of the body if they're just over there in the corner all by themselves, right? I try to make sure my hands are with me everywhere I go. It's very helpful to me. My hands appreciate it too, because they like to go wherever I go. Being a Christian means being part of a body. That's a relationship kind of thing. So give me some examples. How is it that being connected together, being friends, if you will, helps us in the Christian life? Can you think of some ways? Okay, encouragement. We receive encouragement and help when we're discouraged, or even when we're not. It helps us to go on. Other ideas? Okay, exactly. We don't all see the same things, and it can help when we have people looking at things from different perspectives, which is why we've said, please tell us if you notice that something's not being taken care of in this new building, because everybody sees things that other people don't see. And Paul alone is just not going to be able to see it, because he's just one person, and I'm not going to be able to see it. But all of us together will be sensitive to all these various things. Okay, any other ideas? Okay, we can accomplish more. We can work together. We can do different things, different aspects. We have different gifts.
We have accountability.
Okay, we have accountability. We have other people that are watching us, and we need to be able to answer to others. We also, the reality is that by rubbing shoulders with other people, it displays our sinfulness. Which is actually a good thing, because it's better to display what's actually there than to fool ourselves into thinking that it's not. We find out, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm selfish. I get easily irritated. I lose my temper. And that's an opportunity for me to appreciate the work of Christ more. It's an opportunity for me to turn from my sin to the Savior all over again. And then, kind of in the other direction, it gives us an opportunity to show grace to others, because the people around us are sinners too. And just as we have received forgiveness and grace from God, we can display that to others as well. Well, then the third thing is that we can be friends with others because of what Jesus has done for us. We can be friends with others because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus, in fact, calls his disciples friends. You might not think of yourself as Jesus' friend. You may just think of him as God that you worship or your Lord. But Jesus actually used that term. In John chapter 15, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus is an incredible friend. He is the best friend because of what he's done for us. We're also reminded that Jesus' friendship even extended to dying for us. Romans 5:7-8 say, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we're reminded that because of what Christ has done, we can and we are called to love others in the same way. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." So there's an example that Christ has done, not simply an example, but he has enabled us by his grace to love others as we love ourselves. Okay, so now very quickly, what is a biblical friend? I'm going to give you three C's to help you remember this. I'm afraid I couldn't come up with an acronym, Tim, but I do have three C's for you, okay? The three C's are counsel, correction, and comfort. So maybe you can remember what it is to be a biblical friend using those three C's: counsel, correction, and comfort. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27, I'm going to very, very quickly go through this just to give us some more time to to talk in groups. So you may have a little trouble keeping up with me, but we'll at least start off on the same page. Proverbs chapter 27, the first thing that a biblical friend gives earnest counsel. Earnest counsel. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." Okay? Now, how many of you kids like to have a friend over to play? Okay, I do too. It's fun to have a friend over to play. And we enjoy just doing things with other people. But the really best part of a friendship is when someone gives us good counsel. That is, they care about us enough to tell us good things and help us along. It's not just that we happen to like to do things together. We don't just play on our Xbox together, or we don't just sit around and talk about movies together, or, you know, whatever it is that we do with our friends. But the real sweetness, the best part of friendship, is earnest counsel, talking together and helping each other to understand how to be more pleasing to the Lord. In fact, Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So our friends help us succeed, don't they? Well, the second C is correction, trustworthy correction. Okay, not just correction, but trustworthy correction. Now, correction's a little different from counsel. Counsel's just to help people as they're going along the way. Correction means you're already heading in the wrong direction, and your friend is trying to turn you around and get you back where you ought to be going. You're on the wrong road, and your friend is trying to help you get back on the right road. So if you would go back just a few verses to 27:5. Okay, 27:5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." And just, you kids need to remember this when mom or dad are correcting you, okay? You got to say this real quick to yourself. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. If your parents just said, "I love you in my heart, but I don't ever show it with anything," that really, you might say, "It sure would be nicer. I wouldn't have to listen when they're correcting me." But really, they love me by rebuking me because they're trying to help me. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, the reality is sometimes our friends are going to wound us. But sometimes those wounds are necessary, because better to get a wound than to fall off a cliff, right? And so sometimes our friends can help us turn us back when we're going the wrong way. Sometimes we may need to wound someone faithfully when we see them going the wrong way. That's part of being a friend. It is not loving to just let someone that you call a friend go off and fall off the cliff. We need to turn them back. Paul and I have talked about this. Both of us share one of our favorite movies is the movie Emma. Of course, that's based on a book by Jane Austen. You may have read the book. You may have seen the movie. But there's a scene in this movie that is worth watching the movie for, just for this one scene. And we both came to this opinion independently. It's kind of funny how we learned that we both had this opinion about it. But really, it is worth watching the whole movie just for this one scene. It is such a tremendous example of faithfully correcting a friend out of love and doing it well. And I won't give you the whole scenario and everything, but basically this young woman insults an older lady, and her friend comes to her, and he corrects her for it. And this is what he says in this 19th century English, and I can't do this nearly the justice that Jeremy Northam does, but he says, "It was badly done indeed. You, whom she had known from an infant, whom she had seen grow up from a period when her notice was an honor, to have you now in thoughtless spirits and the pride of the moment laugh at her, humble her, and before her niece too, and before others, many of whom, certainly some, would be entirely guided by your treatment of her. This is not pleasant to you, Emma, and it is very far from pleasant to me. But I will tell you truths while I can. Satisfied with proving myself your friend by very faithful counsel, and trusting that you will sometime or other do my faith in you greater justice than you can do now." And I've always thought, when I saw that, I thought, if I could ever give a rebuke like that, I mean, that would be so sensitive but loving at the same time. And if I'm ever rebuked, I want to be rebuked like that, where someone shows hope and love for me and is willing to correct me for it. So the third C is comfort, consistent comfort. And if you can flip back quickly enough to Proverbs 17:17, you don't need to do that, but it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend is faithful and loving at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I was just thinking back to when I was in high school, and I saw my sister in the middle of the reality of mean girl syndrome. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about, where girls can be very mean to each other, especially in a school setting. And I saw her, I was very encouraged by her being a faithful friend to people who were sometimes victims of that. And sometimes she was the victim of that, and yet she continued to be faithful to friends in the middle of that. And we're called to be faithful and consistent friends in comforting others, even in the midst of trials. So one other thing, reality, before I have you do some talking among yourselves, is that we have both a duty to be friends with unbelievers, and we have to recognize the danger of being friends with unbelievers. So there's a duty and a danger when it comes to friendship with unbelievers. The duty is very clear in terms of a Christian is supposed to move out into the world, not alone, but in cooperation, in friendship with other Christians. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We must live among unbelievers for the sake of the gospel. We must do that. 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, Paul says, "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people." Not at all, meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. We can't be so careful to avoid being exposed to sin that we no longer have any interaction with sinners. Okay, we have a responsibility to them to be friends with sinners, and particularly unbelievers. But the reality is that there is a danger in it. Proverbs 13:20, look there, says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Now remember, and I think Paul talked about this, we were not here that week, but Proverbs are not promises, and Proverbs are not commands. Proverbs are just a general collection of wisdom here, and what it's saying essentially is there is a danger here. Beware of this danger. It's not saying that you're guaranteed that every time you're around an unbeliever, you become less wise. Okay? But there is a tendency and a danger here. Okay? That's what this passage is telling us. And then Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So there's a recognition that when we hang around people that have certain sinful tendencies, we're going to tend to want to be like them. And we're going to tend to move in that direction. So we need to be careful of that as well. Okay, so that's kind of a fire hose overview of friendship in the Bible. And now what I'd like for you to do is to break up into some groups. And let me see if I can get you broken up somehow reasonably well. Before I do that, let me just tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. To begin with, I want you to spend a few minutes talking to the younger people, older people, talking to the younger people in your group, if you can think of something on the fly like this, and share with the younger people in the group, and if there are no younger people, you can just share among yourselves. Share with them a way in which someone's friendship has really encouraged you, either to be as a Christian or to become a Christian or something like that. Or, if you want to be this real, share with people how you failed to become a biblical friend, or how maybe you were influenced by ungodly friends in a wrong direction. And do that in an age-appropriate way, of course. But if you want to share something like that as a warning to others in your group, then that would be fine as well. So what I'd like for you to do is spend maybe 7 or 8 minutes just sharing that way. And then I would like for you to look at these passages. I'm going to assign one of these to each group where you look at these three questions for discussion. And then hopefully I want at the end of that, I want someone from your group to give us about a 30-second or 1-minute summary of number three, that is, what can we learn about being a godly friend from that person in the Bible? Okay? So, let me see if we can divide up everybody in these first two rows here. I want y'all to be a group, and y'all look at David, the life of David. And then the next two rows, if y'all would group up and look at Lot. Okay? Then over here, these two rows, if y'all would look at Job. And then the next three rows, if y'all would look at Ruth. And so, to begin with, if you would, just spend a few minutes sharing how friendships have helped you as a Christian or warnings about how ungodly friends may have harmed you. And then, if you would, transition to looking at these three discussion questions. Okay? Is that too complicated? And do all that in 15 minutes. Actually, do it in about 12 minutes. So let's spend about maybe 5 or 6 minutes on that first question, if you can. And if you're all just kind of looking at each other, then just move on to the other one.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.